This morning's scripture reader comes from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And the Bible says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need."
All right, today we are beginning a new series on prayer. And I appreciate Tim reading that scripture. You know, when we pray, we actually have an opportunity to come before the throne of Almighty God and commune and fellowship with Him. And through that, we have an opportunity to build a relationship with Him. How many of you want a relationship with God? Pray. You know, if you look at any couple that's been married for, well, let's say the Cooks have been married some 70 years, you're going to find a couple that has communicated. What really makes their relationship tight is that communication with one another, getting to know one another. You know, prayer is that avenue for us. God speaks to us through His Word, but when we pray, we have an opportunity to speak to God. And that's just an awesome thought. If you want a tight relationship with God, I want to encourage you to pray. But then I'm also reminded of another passage of Scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "The prayer of a righteous man is what? Powerful and effective." Now let me ask you this question. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? How many of you believe it's effective? Okay, every hand is going up. Now, I have a problem at times asking questions in settings like this. And I'll give you an example why. Heard a story one time about a youth group that went camping, and the youth minister that night had their group around a campfire, and he says, "Hey, let's play the game, what am I?" And he said, "I have a furry tail, I climb trees, and I store nuts for the winter, what am I?" Well, the kids didn't answer. They kind of looked around, and no one said a word, and the youth minister said, "Come on, guys, what's the deal? You know what I am. You know, I have a fuzzy tail, I climb trees, and I store nuts for the winter. What am I?" And again, no one answers. Finally, one little girl kind of halfway raises her hand. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Honey, what am I describing here?" And she said, "I want to say that you're describing a squirrel, but being that we're at a church event, I'm just going to say Jesus." And I see that's the problem in asking a religious question in a setting like this. Everybody's going to try and give the right answer. But how many of you really believe that prayer is powerful and that it is effective? Okay, now based on the hands that are raised, be prepared for this next question, okay? How is your prayer life? I mean, if we really believe that through prayer we deepen our relationship with God, if we really believe that it is powerful and it is effective, then why don't we pray more? As a church, how many of you would say that we pray enough? As a Christian, how many of you would individually say, "I pray enough"? I've thought about this over the last couple of weeks. Why is it? Why is my prayer life nowhere near where it needs to be? And I think that there are several things that we could throw out this morning. I think several of us would admit, well, I've just been too busy. You know, I've got places to go. I've got people to see. You know, I've got work. And then when I get home, you know, I'm cooking and I'm trying to spend time with my family. And you know, there's just not enough hours in the day. I'm just too busy. Then there might be others of you who'd say, I'm guilty of this, just too flat out lazy. Because, you know, here's the thing about prayer. It takes time and it takes energy. And how many of you would admit there are just times you just don't want to pray? Because there are other things that you want to do. I'll be the first to raise my hand. I want to watch television. I want to watch a movie. I want to go take a nap. Then I think another reason why we don't pray like we should at times is guilt. You know, sin hinders just about every area of our lives. I think one of the greatest areas that it hinders is our prayer lives. Because you see, here's the deal. We can't live this lifestyle of sin and then feel comfortable about going before the presence of Almighty God, right? I mean, that just totally makes us uncomfortable. In fact, when we go to God in prayer, it makes us feel guilty because we know that that's not what God wants for us. We know the effects of sin. It keeps us from being who God wants us to be. It keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. And we acknowledge that and we know that. And so many times we just don't even want to pray because of the guilt and the shame that it brings. But then I think another reason why we don't pray like we should is many times we're just not happy with the results that we've gotten in the past. I think all of us would admit we've prayed about things, but God didn't necessarily answer those prayers the way we wanted. Right? I mean, how many of us have known people that are sick and we prayed for them to get better and then they end up passing? Or maybe we pray for our marriage and our marriage ends in divorce. Or maybe we pray for one of our rebellious kids and instead of them getting closer to God, they end up pushing further away. And so you see, there are times when we're just like, God, what in the world? I mean, why do I even bother praying? And I'm reading a book right now by Charles Hodge. I bought it a long time ago, many years ago. And he talks about how so many times we kind of look at God like he's a genie in a lamp, right? You remember the story of Aladdin where we rub the lamp and then as the master, right, we tell God what we want him to do for us. I want you to grant my wishes. And we put ourselves in the place of God instead of trying to walk according to his will. You know, there are going to be times when God ain't going to answer our prayers the way we want. And Jesus addresses this in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. It says, and he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray, and then watch this, if this sounds familiar, and not lose heart. You ever lost heart? In other words, what Jesus is saying is, look, always pray. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on asking. In fact, he tells two parables. Look, just keep reading verses 2 through 8. First of all, this is the first parable. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Okay, so notice, there are two characters in this story. The first is a judge. And this guy could care less about God, but he could care less even more about people. I mean, he is a very selfish individual. He is ungodly. And he is unsympathetic. But then the other character in this story is a widow. And she is needing justice. She is needing some help. But the problem is she's too poor to hire a lawyer. And so day in and day out, she is going to this judge persistently, begging him for justice, begging him for help. You know, we don't know what kind of help it was. Maybe she was cheated out of money. Maybe she was cheated out of land. But she is saying to this judge, please help me. I mean, it's just a picture of this helpless situation. But the one thing that she has going for her is her ability to pester the judge. She just keeps going to him. Until finally the judge says, even though I don't care about God, and even though I could care less about this woman, I will give this woman what she wants just to get her out of my hair. Then Jesus tells another parable. You have to back up a little bit for this one. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 9. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And so here's another parable with 2 more characters. You got a guy who has some unexpected company, and during this day and time, in this culture, the most polite thing that you could do was offer them some food. We didn't have any food. He didn't have any bread. And so he runs down the street to a friend, knocks on the door, and says, hey man, I need some help. I need some bread. And his buddy's like, shh. I've got the kids. They're asleep. And listen, if I start stirring around, one of the kids is going to get up and they're going to want a glass of water, and then they're going to need to go to the bathroom, and it's going to wake the dog. And there is no way, man, I'm not opening this door. You come back tomorrow and I will give you what you need. No, I need it now, man. I need some bread now. Shh. Hey, listen, I need some help. Okay, okay, okay. And he gets up. How many loaves do you need? And I think there are some interesting points that Jesus is trying to make through these 2 parables. First of all, pray and keep on praying. Here, both of these situations are really helpless. I mean, you've got the guy who is needing some bread to feed this unexpected guest, but guess what? There's no 24-hour convenience store. They didn't have a Walgreens. They stayed open 24 hours a night. Then you look at the other situation, and you have this woman, and there's no one in the community that's helping her, and she's too poor to hire a lawyer. I mean, both of these situations are just absolutely helpless. And there are going to be times when you guys are going to encounter helpless situations. It's inevitable. And Jesus very clearly says to you and me through His Word, pray and keep on praying. Even if God doesn't pull you out of the pit, this past week, and some of y'all have been hearing me tell this story, bless your heart, you're going to have to hear it again. But I heard Josh Ross, who spoke at the Spiritual Growth, and I went to one of his sessions where he was talking about some of the helpless situations that he's been in. I mean, the death of his sister, and he talks about how he was just calling out to God. And he says, you know what? He said, there are times when you're in the pit, when you are going through it, and you are calling out to God to pull you out of the pit. But instead of pulling you out of the pit, God gets in the pit with you. And he says, you know, sometimes what we really need is just the presence of God. And I thought, man, that is so powerful. And so sometimes there's going to be helpless situations and you call out and God's going to pull you up. But there are going to be times where you're going to call out and God's just going to be there with you and hold your hand. But he says, pray and keep on praying. And then Jesus also makes a point, listen, don't forget about the Father's character. Don't forget who He is. You know, so many times as Jesus is telling parables, He's saying, look, this is what the kingdom is like. And this is what the Father is like. But the interesting thing is, in these two parables, Jesus says, God, the Father, is not like this. He's not like the judge who doesn't care anything about this woman. And He is not like the friend who says, hey, come back tomorrow. I don't have time to deal with you today. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus says, is listening. He is always listening, and He wants to help. You know, they say that the Hindu, when they go into their temple to pray, before they pray, they bang on these gongs. And the reason they bang on the gongs, they say, is so that they can get the attention of their God. Isn't it awesome to know that we've always got our God's attention? I mean, we have been so blessed with a Heavenly Father who has a deep and intimate concern with everything that happens in our lives, who is anxious and willing to hear and answer our concerns and our prayers. John talks about this in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Now, this is a confidence that we have in Him, talking about God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Notice, I love this. John says twice in this one passage, we know. We know that God is listening to us. And knowing that God listens to us, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's our God. And then God even Himself says of Himself in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, He says, it shall come to pass, and this is awesome, that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, the Lord knows what you need before you even ask. That's the God that we serve. How many of you have ever been at work and you began to tell one of your co-workers what you need them to do, and before you even finish speaking, they're already on it? God says, that's me. I already know what you need before you ask for it. I'm already on it. We got to keep on praying. Athletes win only after persistent training. Students achieve only after persisting in their study. Marriages last because couples persistently work on it, and prayers are answered and lives are changed because Christians are persistent in speaking with the Lord. Now, I want to go back to the whole couple thing. This is a freebie this morning. You want to know how you can have a great marriage? Pray together. Worship together. The family that prays together stays together. And I believe that with all my heart. Because you know what? God is the one who ordained marriage. He created it. And so if you've got any questions about it, He's the one you need to see. But you need to build that relationship with God, with each other, worship together, come before God, stand in His presence, hand in hand, and serve Him, and I guarantee you, your marriage will be blessed. You know, the Jews in Jesus' day, they limited prayer to only three times a day. And the reason for that was they were afraid that they were going to wear God out. But Jesus tells them the opposite. He said, let me tell you something. You're not going to wear God out. If anyone gets worn out, he says it's going to be you. And he says, don't lose heart. You just make sure that you keep on praying. If you're struggling with your marriage right now, pray. If there's something in your life that you are struggling with as far as a sin, take it to God. Give it to Him. If there's something you're worrying about, if there's something that you're addicted to, if there is some sin in your life that is controlling you, pray. Why? Because prayer changes things. From Charles Hodges' book, I thought this was interesting. And this is something you need to know. He says, prayer is powerful, yet we do not believe in prayer. We believe in God. Prayer does not heal. God does. Prayer is our access to God. In prayer, we make God Almighty our partner. And I love that. Prayer changes things. And you say, well, what could prayer possibly change? Well, first of all, through Scripture, and I don't fully understand this, but we've seen where prayer can change the mind of God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, you have God, and He is fed up with the children of Israel. He says, I'm done. I'm going to wipe them off the face of this earth. And Moses, I'm going to start all over with you. And Moses goes to him, and he begs him to relent in his anger. And guess what? He does, and he doesn't destroy him. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, we read about a king by the name of Hezekiah. And God says to Isaiah the prophet, I want you to go tell him to get his house in order because he's fixing to die. And when Isaiah delivers that message, Hezekiah turns towards the wall and he just breaks down and he calls out to God in prayer. And Isaiah leaves. And before Isaiah could even leave the courtyard of the king's palace, God sends word to Isaiah and says, look, you go tell Hezekiah, I'm going to give him 15 more years. Like I said, I don't fully understand it, but we see in Scripture, prayer can change the mind of God. Also, prayer can change you. As you pray to God, you will find yourself maturing. You will find yourself growing in your relationship with God. Like I told you earlier, as you communicate with your spouse, you too will grow in your relationship and you will begin. It's very strange. You will begin in many regards to take on the same attitude as your spouse, and even many times take on the same ideas. In fact, it's gotten to the point, and this is just kind of strange to me, but it has gotten to the point in Julie and mine's marriage, we can finish each other's sentences. And when we pray to God, we become more like Him. He grows us. He matures us, and He changes us. Also, prayer can change the church. Man, imagine if the church really prayed. And I'm not just talking about three times in corporate worship or two times, whatever it is, just going over a list of names. I'm talking about really intensely praying for each other. Great story in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, you have Peter, he's in prison. More than likely, he's getting ready to be executed. And the church has a prayer meeting. And they start praying for Peter. And God does a miracle. He sets Peter free from prison. And I don't think that the focus here, what God is really trying to point out, is the miracle here. I think what God really wants us to see in that story is the power of the church praying together. But then also, let me mention one other thing. This prayer can change the world. Casting Crown several years ago, I had a song entitled, What If His People Prayed? And I'm just going to share that some of that song with you. It goes like this, and what if His people prayed? And those who bear His name would humbly seek His face and turn from their own ways. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children could see the light of day. You know, so oftentimes as we look around in our world, we become frustrated and we become angry. You know, we get angry when we think about abortion. We get angry when we think about homosexuality. But before we call out in anger, we need to ask ourselves, have we even prayed over those things? Have we prayed for God to remove abortion? How often do we pray for our worldly leaders that are making these decisions? I want to do something this morning, and I've never done this before, but tonight we're going to come back, and instead of having our usual Bible discussion, we're going to come back tonight and we're going to pray. If you don't like to pray, don't come tonight. Okay, because we're going to call out to God. And what I want to give you the opportunity to do right now before we offer the invitation is you can grab a card, and I want to encourage you to do this in the pew in front of you. And I want you to write down some things specifically that you would like to be prayed over. Now, it may be that there are some of you this morning, maybe you need to write out some things that need to be prayed over this morning. And one of our elders will be up here to take your confession. I will. It may be that there is some sort of sin in your life and you need prayers right now for deliverance of that sin. It may be that there are some of you this morning that need to come and give your life to Jesus. Put on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But if there is someone or something, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your children, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's some sort of event that's going on in your life or whatever the case may be, I want you to write that down and we're going to pray about those things. I'm going to put a bucket out here by the door. I'm just going to put one of those blue tubs out there and you can fold it up. You don't even have to put your name in it and you can throw it in that tub. And we're going to have several men who are going to approach God's throne tonight. We're going to lift those things up. But before we offer the invitation, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Let's take about 3 minutes, and I'm going to let you, let's do this. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and I'm going to let you write down some things that need to be prayed over.